Good morning. It's good to be back here again. I've kind of missed these last few years not being out, being able to visit different churches here in the U.S. who have been supporting us, standing behind us. I appreciate the fact that your church here has been behind us in the ministry. I have not been in ministry for as long as maybe Russell might remember. He remembers Walter Gomez. Well, I remember him too. But I have been around in Mexico for 58 years because I was born down there. I was born on the mission field. My father was one of the missionaries down there. My wife was born on the mission field too. And so I'm part of 58 years of the history of our mission down there. And so we've gone through various name changes over the years, like a lot of different missions are going through. But we are still Evangelical Mission Ministry, our area of the ministry under Faith Baptist Missions, which is now the parent mission agency that is overseeing what we're doing down in Mexico. But in Mexico, we're continue to be Evangelical Mission Ministries. And I was thinking, and it always amazes me how God leads things when it comes to a church service. Pastor didn't know what I was going to be preaching about. He didn't even ask me. But this last song, one of the phrases we sang several times is, if the sun sets you are free indeed. And that is something I would like to share with you this morning out of John chapter 8, verses 31 to 36. As time goes on in the ministry, and as I see where our world is headed, Pastor was mentioning about what happened in school this week. Truth is under attack in all its forms, not just God's truth, all truth. People, young people, are questioning nowadays even the bare facts of truth, whether things are true or not. And it's sad. And we see it playing out. I see it playing out in my students. They don't realize just how infected they are by some of the philosophies of this world. And I sometimes wonder if we are conscious of how much we have been infected by the trends, the philosophies, the things, because we're just constantly bombarded through the different media, through television, and the people that we talk to, just people that we have contact with. And Christ says here in John chapter 8, and I would like to read these verses to begin with. John chapter 8, verses 31 to 36, and it says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we've never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I like to ask questions when I come to a Bible passage. That's the way I was taught to study the Bible, is in terms of questions. And so the first question is, to whom is Christ speaking? And usually, at least my experience is, people apply this to non-Christians. You know, if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. But it says here in verse 31, then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him. He's talking, Christ is not talking to the Pharisees. He's not talking to those who had not yet believed. He's talking to those who had believed on him. And to them, he says, then the question is, what did he say? And he says there in verse 31, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So, the question is, what does this mean? If we, to some degree, are in this category, because we too are believers, what is Christ telling us? Because he was talking to those who had already believed in him. In what way do I need to be made free? Yes, I understand, and it is true that the moment I came to faith in Christ, and in my case, it was at a really early age. Okay, I was very conscious at the age of about 4 years old of my need of Christ. Now, I'm not sure that most kids at that age really understand the do understand the gospel as clearly as I did. I have never, ever doubted. I can still remember the day I gave my life to Christ. Now, when my kids came around to about that age, I'm like, do they understand? But even so, as the years have gone by, and as I get to understand more of Scripture, there is more and more freedom. One of the interesting parts of my ministry, and if you would have asked me 10 years ago, Paul, do you want to do some counseling? People with, you know, with problems, Christians with problems. And I probably would have told you, no way, I don't do that. However, God has brought different things into our lives. And people started coming to me and asking me. I have not gone out there looking to be a counselor. I tell people, I respect pastors. I realize we need them. I would not want to be a pastor. I have been a pastor in two occasions, but that is not my ministry. I do not like herding sheep, okay? and so that I think counseling is part of the pastoral ministry. But people have come to me and said, brother, can you help me? And I'm like, maybe you want to look for someone else. My ministry is something else. And they're like, no. Just recently, somebody came to me and said, brother, can you give my wife and I some counseling? They're going to be celebrating their 25th wedding anniversary. And he said, we've gone through different problems, and we want to strengthen our marriage. Can you counsel us? Can you go through help us? And I'm like, okay. But when I do counseling, I realize how much slavery to sin there still is in our lives. We, because of our sin nature, it is so easy to give in to patterns where we are not fully, fully free. I am not saying we are living necessarily horrid lives, given over to a life of degradation. But there are things in which we are still bound to wrong thought patterns. We really don't trust Christ. We really don't trust God. And I have found that in my own ministry. Not too long ago, somebody asked me to do a series of studies in their church on the attributes of God. That was great. I've taught it at the seminary at different times. But just having to rework this material and do it for this church and trying to think of people that have not been sitting under a lot of Bible teaching and basically from scratch, teaching them about who God is. And to me, it was challenging. Is this really the God that I believe in, that I trust in? One of the things, and I maybe shared this last time I was here, when my son passed away, the day he passed away, so many things ran through my head. Is God good? And if God is good, then why did he let something like this happen? And it's still something that runs through my mind. I see my grandkids growing up without a father, and that is not the way I would say is the best way to raise kids. And yet I tell my grandkids, you know what? I do not understand the way God works, but God is good, and God thought that the best thing for your life would be to grow up without a daddy. I do not understand that. If God is good, is he omnipotent? And if he's omnipotent, why did he put a stop to that? Because, I mean, he could have done a whole lot of different things so that my son wouldn't have had the accident he had. But God is wise. He's understanding. He knows better than I do what's the best thing for our lives. And so just going through all of these things, it's like, is that really the God I believe in? Is God watching out for me? Mexico is getting worse. It was bad when I came the last time. It's getting worse. There is just so much violence all over. A few months back, a lady that just moved in a block away from where we lived, she had just been living there for a month. She came home, surprised some burglars in her house, and they tied her up on a chair and emptied her house and left her there. She was there, tied up, gagged. She couldn't call for help or anything for 24 hours. Finally, her daughter, who had been trying to call her, couldn't get a hold of her mom, so she decided to go and see what was going on and found out what had happened. And the question is, when I leave my wife at home, is God watching over her? You know, and some people have told us, you know what, you probably should move up to the States. Well, I'm not sure it's safer to be out of God's will. It sure wasn't for Jonah. And I haven't gotten permission from God to move away from Mexico yet. So, those are things that where can I live in peace? I live in peace. I don't really worry about all the violence. And it's not that it's not there, and it's not that it's not happening. It's just I have to trust this God that I say I believe and that I'm teaching at the Bible college. And that is one of my passions is to help my students understand what God is really saying in our word, because it needs to be preached in churches. We need to understand. It's an amazing statement what Christ says here. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There is a direct relationship between remaining in the truth, remaining in the word, and being free. How much do we really pay attention to what God is saying? I am amazed at some people. I mean, I know it probably happens here, but it happens in Mexico all the time. There are some people that show up in church just sporadically. And I tell my wife, you know what? Bug bit them this morning. You know, out of all the mornings in the year, why did they all of a sudden wake up them in the morning and say, you know what? Maybe we should go to church. I don't know. I thank the Lord for all the good habits that my parents taught me. And going to church was one of them. To tell you the truth, when I was going through my teenage years, there were Sundays where I wished I could be doing something else. You know, not that I knew what it would be like to be doing something else, because I never got that option. I just watched my friends, and I sometimes thought, you know, wouldn't it be wonderful to just not have to get up early on Sunday morning? I mean, my dad was the pastor, and we'd have to get up really early, almost worse than on weekdays. And, you know, go to church and in the morning and in the evening. And back then we went twice on Sundays. But you know what? I'm so thankful. I am so thankful. When I wake up on Sundays, I don't think, you know, maybe I should go to church. Should we go? There's a blessing in meeting with the people of God on Sundays. It's wonderful. I don't even know you people too much, but it's wonderful to be here. I'm related. We're all children of God. Well, those of us who have come to know the Lord Christ as our Savior, we are all children of God, and we're related. You're my brothers and sisters. I tell the people at church in Mexico, it's wonderful. I know a whole lot more people in the family of God, in our extended family, than you do, because I've gotten to travel around. I've been in 7 different countries. And a whole lot of churches. I've been, I think, to 45 of the states in the United States. And I think I've been to about 5 or 6 of the provinces in Canada, and about over half of the states in Mexico. And so I know a lot of people, and it's wonderful. No matter where I go, if there are Christians, I feel at home. There is a relationship between remaining in the Word and being free, because we are constantly under attack. Our belief system is constantly being challenged. And it is so easy to slip into patterns that seem all right, because everybody's doing it, because that's the way people are. That's the way our culture works. And so the question is, are we really as free as we think we are? A few years back, somebody came down and shared with us some material called Be Transformed. It's a book that I use for counseling. And the premise of that book is we have problems in our relationships with people, or we fall into sinful patterns because we have believed the lie and it has replaced some truth in the Word of God. And I have found that that is true. When we start acting on a lie, even if it doesn't seem all that bad, we're going to run into problems. We're going to have problems in our relationship with our spouse, with our children. We're going to fall into sin of some sort. And it might not be a grievous sin, but I mean, I start getting angry. I'm envious. Why am I envious? Because I really think that God has been unfair and given somebody else something that I really want. And we can all trace all of those patterns in some degree to a lie that we have believed. And there's a relationship, it says, between being Christ's disciples. Now, what is a disciple? A disciple is someone who follows his teacher, his teacher's way of follow the teachings, but also the way his teacher acts is an example. Are we following Christ's example? Are we really living according to what Christ taught, what the Word teaches? Do I really believe this? And one of the things that to me has been challenging lately is, do I really, really think that investing in the kingdom is better than investing in this world? Now, God gives us things, and I'm not against that. I praise the Lord. God has given me a house to live in. It's mine. I find it to be a very comfortable home. You might go down there and think, wow. We do not have any kind of central heating. I was telling Pastor, in the mornings when we get up, my house is about 56, 58 degrees, you know, and we don't have any heating. I do have one little space heater, and it sometimes gets turned on if I've made sure I went and gone out and bought some butane gas to run the thing. A few weeks ago, it ran out, and I've been busy and haven't, so the last 2-3 weeks, it's cold in the morning when I get up and make breakfast. And then it warms up outside because we live at a very high altitude. And in the middle of the day, it does get up to 75 degrees. You know, it's a whole lot colder in the morning, 30-some degrees. Fortunately, my house doesn't get quite that cold. But yesterday, day before yesterday, it was a nice, balmy 62 degrees in my house in the middle of the day. And we were thinking, boy, it really warmed up in here, didn't it? My office at the seminary is a freezer. I think the North Pole moved down to Pachuca. It warms up outside, but it does not warm up inside. And so we sit there with coats and sweaters all day long. I get so tired of that. But anyway, I'm thankful for a house like that, but is that the end of for what I am living? Do I want a bigger house? To tell you the truth, I have seen some houses, especially those old English country houses in England. I sometimes have thought, you know, I would love to have one of those houses. 35 bedrooms. Not sure what I would do with them, but... And how do you keep them clean? And anyway, do I want a bigger car? Nicer clothes? What am I investing in? And what am I investing for? And you might think missionaries don't struggle with those things, but we do. You know, living comfortable is nice, is wonderful. But what am I putting my efforts into? What's going to be, you know, once I get to the end of my life, because it's going to come one of these days, whether I like it or not, you know, what am I going to have at the end of that time? Everything that is physical is going to get left behind. Am I really investing for eternity? And yes, like I say, I mean, the question is, should I rather move to somewhere safer? Is it really safer? Do I really believe in God's word that if I'm in His will, that's the safest place to be? Or is it safer behind barred doors or barred windows? We have bars on all our windows. That's one thing my wife struggles with when she comes to the U.S. There's no bars on the windows. She's like, anybody could crawl through. Well, in Mexico, everybody has bars on their windows. But that doesn't even keep people out all the time. Is it safer across the border on this side? In general terms, yes, it is. But not if I'm not in God's will. Is God taking care of me when I come down with some bad disease? You know, we got COVID, and I got it really, really bad before anybody even knew what to do with this or how to treat it. Fortunately, my wife is into all these remedies, home remedies and herbal things, and she was just feeding me stuff the whole time. So sick and tired of it, and she kept saying, just please don't die. And I'm like, I'm not dying. And then I took a selfie of myself, and I'm like, oh, no wonder she thinks I'm dying. I did look like I was dying. I did lose, believe it or not, I did lose 10 pounds. I have not been able to put it back. I was not quite this thin when I came here last time. We were looking at some pictures. I've always been thin. I've always been very skinny. But we were looking at some pictures, and my kids say, Dad, you were fat. I'm like, I wasn't fat, but I was a whole lot better than I am right now. Is God watching out for me? I was worried, a little bit worried, coming up here. You know, it's cold, and I know it's snowing, and there could be ice on the roads, and I am not used to driving on those kind of highways. And I'm like, Lord, just keep the snow away, at least for the day that I'm there. You know, do me the favor. Last time I came up, it was snowing the day I showed up. And I'm like, Lord, I would really love to have it just a nice, clear day. God was good. But is He watching out for me? And there is a very, very close relationship between truth and freedom. The truth will make you free. Anything else that is really not in alignment with this is a lie. And it causes slavery. The Jews, when they heard Christ say this, said, we have never been slaves. They were thinking of human slavery. They misunderstood Christ. But Christ was talking about a spiritual slavery where you get caught up in the wrong way of thinking. Isaiah chapter 44, verses 14 to 20, it has an interesting example here, starting in verse 14, it talks about those who make idols. Now, here in the U.S., idols are not a big thing. In Mexico, they are. Okay, people have them up in all their businesses because it makes their business prosper or whatever. Most businesses you go in, almost all the businesses you go into, will have one of the saints up somehow, or the Virgin Mary, and maybe three or four of them. People have them out on the streets in front of their house. It's big, but. And it's using that, and it says those who make these things don't stop and think. They just really don't really stop and think about what they're doing. It says they take a piece of wood, they carve it into an idol, and then they bow down and worship it. And with the chips, or what's left over, they burn it to keep themselves warm. So what was better about the one piece of wood than the other? You know, that piece of paper that this picture is on, how is that better than just a regular sheet of typing paper? But it ends up in verse 20 saying about those who worship things that are idols. It says, he feedeth on ashes, a deceived heart hath turned him aside, that he cannot deliver his soul nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? Anything that takes the place of God is an idol. And if we follow what it says there in Isaiah 40:44, it is therefore a lie. And it will cause slavery. It can cause depression, anxiety, fear, anger. We're angry. We might not realize that we're angry with God. We're angry at whatever happened to us. Why am I having to live through this? Why can't I have what other people have? And I had to be thinking about that yesterday. I was rather upset. I rented a car, and then the man says, you know, if you go through toll booths, you can't go through toll booths on this and whatever. And so then I start down the highway coming over here, and because there's some kind of a penalty because there are no toll booths. I can't pay for them, you know. And Google takes me down to this 476 or something. There's tolls on there, and there's no toll booths. And so I'm running through these, and I'm trying to get around this thing. And Google Maps, it says, if you take this route, it'll be 40-some minutes longer. And I'm like, fine. So I click on it, and then it takes me on a loop, and it gets me on, and then I'm at a place where there's no way I can get around it but go through the toll booth. And I'm like, what do I do? I was so mad at Google. And I am thinking, whoever rented the car, there has to be a solution to this. You know, if they know that what Pennsylvania is like, they should have asked me. And I remember, I don't know if it was here or somewhere else, they said, are you going to be traveling, you know, wherever there's toll highways? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what your state is like. I come from Mexico, you know. Mexico, they have toll booths, and I can stop and pay them. And then, oh, by the way, I love it when I come up from Mexico in my car. I go through those toll booths. You know what? I have never gotten a bill. They can't find me in Mexico. But I'm not driving a Mexican car, so now I'm in hot water. I don't know what I'm going to be paying these people because I went through a toll booth. But anyway, and I'm like, I was mad at the guy because I'm like, why didn't he offer me some way of getting around this to pay, you know, properly. And then I'm like, God, forgive me. You know, yeah, maybe they should have done that. But this anger I'm feeling inside me is nothing right. There's nothing right about it. You know. And I just like, Lord, fine, I'll pay for whatever. Just, I want to be in peace with you again. You know, you're in control. God could have worked it so that Google would have taken me the right way. Whatever, for whatever reason, he allowed it. I'm not sure that he messing on my phone there, but he allowed it. Does he allow those things? Does he, in all his wisdom and being able to control, because I do believe he can control my life. He can stop things. Not too long ago, I was supposed to make somebody a transfer, their wage. And I was like, it's 2 days late. I am so, oh dear, I'm really going to have to apologize. And then I get a message from these people is, I hope you haven't deposited my wage because I lost that card and I just got a new one. And hopefully you haven't. I'm like, Lord, even you're in control of those kind of things. My memory, I've got a bad memory, and that part is, I guess, my fault. But anyway, God is in control. Is God in control of your life? Or how much in control is he in your life? When we live in the Word, we really live free. I'm still finding that out. More and more. And I challenge you to keep studying the Word. There is true freedom. It does make for a much more wonderful, satisfied life. So much more peace, contentment, happiness. People are looking to be happy, but they're looking in the wrong places. I was listening to somebody on the radio yesterday, and it was like, you know, fighting for my rights, and that's the best thing to do. And I'm like, it can only make for a miserable life. You're just going to be more miserable. That's not going to make you more happy. May we truly, truly seek to be Christ's disciples. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that we have it in our own language where we can read it. And may we truly be your disciples. Thank you for the freedom that you give us. Amen.